As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
Well, I said in March that you would go to East Palestine, Ohio. You came here. How come you haven't gone to East Palestine yet?
Well, I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine. There's a lot going on here, and I just haven't been able to break. I was thinking whether I'd go to East Palestine this week, but I then was reminded I've got to go literally around the world. I'm going from Washington to India to Vietnam it's going to be a while. But we're making sure that East Palestine has what they need materially in order to deal with their problems.
It's going to be wild. There was like a, oh man, who is he reminding me of? Chris Walken. It's going to be wild. So we're forgetting that he also went to Delaware. He went to the beach, Kane. He went to the beach repeatedly, right? For how long again? Remind everyone before we get started. Just remind people.
How many days he's been on vacation?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, like 370 something?
And how he was, what, a week at? He was at two different, beaches. So he was, right. He was, had one beach vacation, and then he was in Delaware, and he had another, like, week-long beach vacation, during which time he could not be bothered nor prevailed upon to go to.
Yeah, he didn't have the occasion. Yeah, he didn't have the occasion to go.
The occasion. He was too busy.
Cut six. He says,
"Oh, we're going to get into that." Hold up, we got to greet everybody. It's been a long extended weekend.
That's true.
I mean, people are just, you know, they're grabbing their coffees or their sodies or whatever they got, and they're joining us. Welcome. You make fun of me, everybody. I don't know why I say it. I mean, so duh sounds so stupid. It's sody. I don't know. It is. And it's Warsh, too. And Pello, right? Say it again. Warsh. Welcome back to the show. It's Monday. Or no, it's not Monday. It's Tuesday. It's our Monday. Extended. We had a Labor Day weekend, obviously. And I hope everyone is well rested, getting ready to start the work week. We're going to get your table set, so to speak. So pull up a chair, and we're also going to make fun of some people. But we're going to break everything down because Congress is coming. Congress is back. And we're gonna get you up to date with everything that you can expect in the coming days. So welcome back to the program. You can listen to the radio show across the country. You can watch the simulcast of the radio show as well on YouTube and Facebook. And you can also find us on channel 347 DirecTV. So the president, just to start with this, has been very busy, guys. I mean, Kenny's a busy man. You know, I mean, he's a very busy man. He can't be expected to be everywhere all at once. You know, he can't be at his beach house in Delaware and then be also in East Palestine. He can't be at his beach house he can't do all of these things. He was able to go to Maui because those people vote Democrat. But, you know, you people out in East Palestine, working stiffs, you know, y'all seem like you may or may not vote Republican. So he's going to send out Boba Birder. That's how my kids used to say it. Boba Birder. Bob the Builder. Poop Buttigieg. Poop Buttigieg out there. And don't get on to me for how his name is said by the esteemed Lawrence O'Donnell over at MSNBC. That's how he says it. So we will follow in suit. He'll send out Secretary Mayor Poot, but he can't be prevailed upon to go out there himself. And I mean, I really, it just is bad form. Like, people in East Palestine are livid over this. I mean, they said, look, this has been 211 days. Actually, now I think it's, what, 212? And they said that, you know, he still has no plans. It's a Republican state. Now, you can't sit here and tell me that it's, Dana, you're looking too much into this. It's a am I, though? Because think of it. I mean, he had no problem with going out to Maui, even though he did fall asleep. Oh, no, wait, sorry. He was resting his eyes. Wink. He had no problem going out to Maui, but he has no problem with Democrat stuff. But if it's a Republican voting area, then they don't have any more, tots and pears. They have none. Sound it out. Tots and pears. They have none. If that's the optic that he's trying to avoid, he's failing miserably at this, just horribly at this. So he's been criticized extremely. Now, did you see how they were trying to make a huge deal over the fact, we're going to come back to this, when he was in Florida after Hurricane Idalia, the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, did not meet with him. And they tried to offset the criticism that Biden has been receiving over not going to East Palestine, and even the way that he's handled Maui. They've tried to offset that by making it out like, oh, he was snubbed by the Florida governor. Well, we guess the Florida governor is just too into, politics and being petty and all of this other stuff. Well, the thing is that Biden went out there when he made his speech. He went out to Florida when he was giving his remarks, and what did he do? He went after Trump, and then he started going into climate change. And DeSantis had said on social media later that they're not going to be used as some sort of apparatus to magnify the president's efforts to really use this as a way to push climate change. They're not going to do it. And Biden shamefully did that. Audio soundbite 5. This is what he was doing. This is what he was doing when he went. Again, it's hurricane season in Florida, hurricane season. And he made everything about climate change. Listen to this.
I want to reiterate that appreciation today. I also convened my entire cabinet as part of a whole of government response. And that response is to increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events and be wary we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crisis. Nobody intelligent can deny the impact of a climate crisis anymore. Just look around the nation and the world, for that matter. Yeah. Historic floods, intense droughts, extreme heat,
cats and dogs,
deadly wildfires, wildfires that have caused serious damage like we've never seen before. Just since being president, in 2.5 years, I've flown over more land burned to the ground as a consequence of wildfires than occupy the entire land of the state of Maryland, from down in New Mexico and Alabama all up into Montana and around. It's been devastating.
So he made it all about climate change. It's hurricane season. We have hurricanes this time of year all the time in Florida. That's why it's called hurricane season. Floridians are used to this. Our listeners in Florida, y'all are used to this. You're all like, oh gosh, you know, it's a try. They're like, wake us when it's a cat four. They're used to this. Now, this is what the Florida governor said in response, because the media went all in. First, they were like, oh my gosh, can you believe that he didn't want to meet Joe Biden? He's so petty. Oh, can you believe that he didn't want to allow himself to be used as a megaphone to amplify this whole use of a tragedy to push climate change? Audio soundbite 2. Well, this is what the Florida governor said in response.
Joe Biden and corporate media have been blaming climate change for the natural disasters and the hurricanes. What do you think about that?
Well, I think if you look, there was a storm that went on this almost exact track in 1896, and it had 125 mile an hour winds just like this one. If you look at the state of Florida, the most powerful storm hurricane we've ever had is actually the anniversary is now. It's the Labor Day hurricane of 1935. It had 185 mile an hour sustained winds, the most powerful hurricane that's ever been made landfall in the state of Florida, probably in the United States, but certainly in the state of Florida. That ripped up parts of the Florida Keys. It killed hundreds of people. There were people that got caught up in the storm. Their clothes got ripped off their bodies. The wind was so strong. So I think the notion that somehow hurricanes are something new, that's just false. And we've got to stop politicizing the weather and stop politicizing natural disasters. We know from history there have been times where it's been very busy in Florida, late 40s, early 50s. You had a lot of hits of significant hurricanes. So I think sometimes people need to take a breath and get a little bit of perspective here. But the notion that somehow if we just adopt, you know, very left-wing policies at the federal level, that somehow we will not have hurricanes, that is a lie. And that is people trying to take what's happened with different types of storms and use that as a pretext to advance their agenda on the backs of people that are suffering. And that's wrong, and we're not going to do that in the state of Florida.
Good for him. So that's why he's not allowing this. And, you know, he's kind of busy. He doesn't have time to do these photo ops with Joe Biden coming out there for a quick visit, acting as though he cares. By the way, a lot of people on the right, too, have talked some smack about Florida recently. Just saying. Just saying. Remember, I mean, Democrats assailed that state because they were daring to push back against mandatory closures, even when you had these mayors like that Suarez out of Miami closing the beaches and fighting with the governor about that. And these different county administrators closing this and that and the governor having to fight with every single one of these Democrat lawmakers to keep this stuff open. Man, Democrats across the country were slamming Florida. That's saying, you know, some on the right, too. But they don't have time for this. They're getting, I mean, look how quickly they rebounded after Ian. Look how quickly they were getting roads and roads, bridges stabilized, roads rebuilt. I mean, look at the devastation in Sanibel and how quickly people, I mean, they're used, like I said, they're used to this, but they're used to being prepared and they're used to responding quickly. So this, I don't think, was a very successful maneuver by the White House to try to hijack this. Now, some of the other things that we're watching, Congress, the narrative building has already started. I warned you about this. Democrats, they're already portraying it. And I'm so tired of MAGA XYZ, like MAGA shutdown, MAGA this, MAGA that, or MAGA. That's what Democrats are. It sounds so cheap. Democrats, this is a headline over, this is Politico. Democrats are bracing for a MAGA shutdown. Now, they're claiming that Republicans are trying to shut down the government, fingers crossed, because Democrats want a whole bunch of entitlement spending, right? They will also want to tie any aid to Maui and any aid to Florida, which, by the way, DeSantis got slammed because he rejected federal money for Florida. But his argument was, A, they don't need it, and B, there's strings attached with it. There's climate change demands that are attached with the federal funding, so we reject that. That's why he rejected it, by the way. Democrats are wanting to tie aid to Maui to more money for Ukraine. This is what they're all trying to wrap up as we gear towards this budget battle. And they're immediately, and you knew this was going to happen with Maui, and I told you this was going to happen. They were trying to say, what was it? There was a Democrat last week who was saying, FEMA head, who was saying in a soundbite, oh, well, we're going to need more money. You knew that they were going to try to tie this to this budget battle. That's exactly what they're doing. They're also still going after Tommy Tuberville, telling him to stop this dangerous hold on promoting officers because he is not going to allow taxpayers to fund for abortion as birth control and taxpayer-funded genital mutilation surgery. That's what Democrats are demanding, and he's refusing to fold on that. I think he should actually be giving a commendation instead of being criticized in the press for it. We're going to tell you all about this and set you up for what is going to be coming down in Congress. Also, culture issues, what Google says about whether or not men can menstruate. We're going to cover that. First Lady Jill Biden tests positive after being boost vaxxed for COVID. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door store or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Ever heard of Goldilocks? Remember, bad news is not good news. No matter what they claim to say about Bidenomics, unemployment is still rising, wages remain stagnant, and job numbers are now revised. There's still no soft landing with this plane. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Little Dreamweaver. Golly, Gary Wright, the brains, the singer behind Dreamweaver, dead at age 80 after he had Parkinson's and dementia. And I think everybody, we were just talking about this on break, I think everybody became familiar with Dreamweaver thanks to Wayne's World, because we were like in high school when that came out. We're like, wow, this song's amazing. So we all got into it. We all got into Dreamweaver, and then we all got into Gary Wright, because normally that never would have happened. So see, just like you learn about cool 70s music from, you know, pop culture movies, everything I learned about classical came from Bugs Bunny, so just saying. So that's Gary Wright. Also, I don't know how to talk about this one. This is going to need its own segment. A Delta flight from Atlanta to Barcelona, I'm not making any of this up, I promise you, was forced to turn back because a passenger suffered such a horrific bout of hot snakes on a plane. Sorry, diarrhea. That the pilot said that it was a biohazard issue and it affected all the way through the plane. It was a Delta Airbus A350. It literally had to turn back. And apparently it was running down the aisle. They said, quote, passenger diarrhea all over aircraft, biohazard. That's what they actually said. Air traffic control had it. And they had to rip up the carpets. People who were passengers on the plane were saying, yes, it was absolutely that bad. It was, I mean, just in case you wondered how to, you know, make an A350 divert, that's exactly how. Wow. And Burning Man, what an avatar for the left. We got to talk about that here coming up. Stick with us. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Hey. As you can see, Whoopi is not here. She has COVID. Oh. Yes, it's back. It's back.
It's back.
But she's on the mend. She's on the tail end, and she'll probably be back this week. But sorry she's not here. For those of you who are looking forward to seeing
her. Oh, my gosh. Do you see what they're trying to push? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. See what they're pushing. Oh my gosh, the COVID's back. She's got it. I think it's a cold. It's a virus, first off. It's a cold. It's a glorified cold. I've had it.
It's flu season.
It's also the start of flu season. Welcome back to the show again. Dana Lash with you, your lovable curmudgeon. For those of you, by the way, who were like, the hell were you playing coming into that segment? I'm obsessed with it. Have y'all ever played, I'm going to come back to this topic, bookmark it. Have you ever played the Goat Simulator? It's the most frustrating, singularly hilarious game ever. I played it a couple years ago. That's the theme song to it. So I just want to use that for all stupid things forever in perpetuity. But back to the whole point, they're saying that, oh, it's back. it's, and as Kane noted, it is flu season. When I'd rather have COVID a million times over than even have like a regular standard cold, or definitely the flu. Definitely the flu makes you feel like you are dying. And then COVID is just annoying. There's a difference. And, you know, I think it rings true for anybody that has any kind of immunocompromised situation. I mean, the flu is going to be bad for you too, just like coronavirus would be. But it does feel like they're trying to amp this up to get everything to shut down again. We're going to talk to Dr. Robert Malone here coming up next hour. So the First Lady, how many times has this chick been boosted, vaxxed again, boosted? How many times? I was actually looking. I think every shot you can get, she's got it. So she tested positive again for the Rona. And she has mild symptoms, says the White House. And so she is staying in their beach house in Delaware where until she's over it. They're really trying to push this and make this come back. Now, my husband thinks that they're going to try to push to shut everything down again, like they did the last election. You will see people in the street. You will see, I won't comply. I mean, there's no way. Actually, I didn't really comply all that much the first go around. For the first 15 days as a courtesy, I did it. And then after that, I was just pissed off. I was just done with it because after that point, I think everyone realized that the face mask thing and all of that it was just a pacifier. It was a public pacifier, that it did absolutely nothing. It's not my responsibility to make you feel comfortable going out in public. It isn't. And you could sit here and try to emotionally blackmail me with a faith that you don't subscribe to or care about, unless you want to use it to manipulate people that you think are polar opposite you ideologically. It doesn't work on me either. So I don't know. We're not doing this again. We are not doing this again. Not at all. I think the last time, and it was a doctor's office that I went into where they had asked, and this was a while ago, if I would wear a face mask, and I literally just put it on my head like a hat. I was such a jackwagon. I was purposefully as stupid as possible. And I think one of the girls didn't realize that, and the other girl immediately did. And they were like, no, you need to cover your face. So I put it over my eyes. I'm not kidding you. This is how ridiculous I am. And they're like, no, you need to put it over your mouth. So I did. Oh, your nose and mouth. And so I put it over mine. And it was like Three Stooges. If it was over my nose, I'd make sure my mouth was. Because that is absurd as believing that it actually would stop the virus particle that you're trying to say that it would stop. Because there's so many studies that show it unequivocally doesn't. It just does not. So not doing it again. But she's tested positive. But I thought the vaccine stopped all transmission. I mean, what's happening? When ivermectin was discussed as a therapeutic, I mean, they came after us. They came, I mean, everybody, saying you're taking horse medicine. You're trying to claim that ivermectin cures the coronavirus. Nobody literally ever said that. They just said that it helped ease the symptoms of it, which it did. Absolutely. I'll fight you on that. It did all damn day. So it was a therapeutic, but you can talk about it like that. So they went from talking about this vaccine and lying to you about it preventing transmission, which they later had to come out with their own mouths and say it didn't. And then the new and then now they're it's like they talk about it like it's a therapeutic, but they don't say therapeutic. I don't think that they're going to be able to lock everybody down again. I really don't.
Well, I think they have a whole level of hubris after 2020 and 2021. So I don't know. I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical.
You're skeptical. So you think that I don't think that they will.
The government controls all of the licensing you need to have a business. All they have to do is threaten to pull your license.
Oh yeah, they've done. I would still do it. I'd still do it.
And
then I would, honestly, I would still do it. And then I would pull a Boston standoff. I'd pull a Lexington and Concord type of standoff.
And I've seen the videos where the police are just quote unquote doing their job instead of upholding the Constitution, which is what they swore an oath to. That worries me. Mm-hmm. So I am skeptical.
If they try to do it again, I think it's mass civil resistance time.
I agree with you.
And then the government, with their reaction, can decide how froggy they want to get. I'm being completely serious.
The Declaration of Independence actually spells it all out. I mean,
yeah, they didn't get up. They didn't all meet in Liberty Hall and go, no, none of this applies.
Right.
If you get sick.
I mean, it's our duty as citizens to restart the government if it becomes too tyrannical.
I will literally operate speakeasies. Oh, I'll do the whole thing. I've always wanted to do that. Like, go ahead, bring back some of that prohibition type stuff. I'm looking to get rich off the black market. Let's do this. Oh, I will totally do it. And then if you come at me, we'll go down Waco style. Like, it's, you know, it's up to you. I am so serious. Put me on your watch list. I don't have enough fingers on the hands that the good Lord gave me for you. So this is how it is. I hope CBS clipped that. So, by the way, I got to tell you how my Sunday started. So Sunday morning, you know, like I think I was in church and my mom is blowing up my phone. Nana Gail, blowing up my phone. Nana's blowing it up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? So I'm looking at it and she is just fixing to beat somebody. She is mad. You know how sometimes when a woman sends you a text, men particularly, and you read it and you can not only hear it in her voice, but you can also feel her head swerving while you read the text. So it was like that. I gotta pull this up. She was so mad. I'm sitting in church and she is just blowing me up. Oh my goodness. So she said, she goes, you were on CBS Sunday morning for your radical talk radio. You are a bad person. You spread lies, hate, etc. And then she has eye roll emoji. And then I go, was it a segment on radio? And she says, you and Limbaugh, all you care about is spreading misinformation, revenue, and ratings. She goes, no, you were on camera. They showed your placing. They showed a clip of you describing Ozark and two more clips. Get your armor ready, says Nana. And she says, they showed your placing of number 7 in talk radio. And I responded, LOL, I'm number 5, those bitches. So she said, they called it division in the media and the internet. And I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for the heads up. Yeah, she sent me screenshots and everything. She was so mad. And, she said, on another show, you said, if Democrats can't rob you, the next best thing is to convince you that you're being robbed. And I was talking about your voting. And then she sent me on something about Vivek Ramaswamy and Al Sharpton because she didn't like Vivek. So this is what she was referencing, because I don't watch CBS Sunday morning. I don't know why she doesn't either, because she's not 110 years old. And I don't know. I mean, the only place that I think you can even see CBS Sunday morning is, like, I don't know, in the waiting room of purgatory. I really don't know. Like, I was surprised that it's broadcast here in this realm. So anyway, this is what she was talking about that she saw Sunday morning and got so mad about. This was Juan pulled it. Listen.
35 years after the talk radio revolution, on the air is still often an exercise in off the rails.
And you know that guy had like that super white hair, he looked like a character in Ozark.
What's the nature of talk radio? Is it any different than it's been the last 2 or 3 decades?
If anything, Jim, I think it's more extreme. I think over that long span, it has unquestionably divided Americans. It has unquestionably hardened our politics.
If Democrats can't rob you, the next best thing is to convince you that you are being robbed.
And how is that good for America?
It's not. It's bad for America.
On the list of Talkers Magazine top 10 most
popular talk radio hosts. Yeah, this is like 2 years ago. I'm number 5 now, suckers.
All 10.
Like, they don't even have the most current list. I'm number 5 beating everybody else. Come on. Y'all didn't even get the right list. Whatever. That made me mad. I was like, if you're going to sit here, if you're going to talk bad about me, that's my bit. You get my ratings right. Okay, if you're going to sit here and drag my name in the mud, that's okay. But you sit here and you talk about how many millions of people listen across the country every single day. If you're going to put my name in your mouth, you make sure that you get my placement correct, okay? So, I don't care. I just find it entertaining. Who's the short stack that they had there looking like a frog on a log? Who's that dude?
No idea.
I mean, that's not just the saying either. The dude looks squatty and dumpy. Who is this guy? Cut that, CBS. Dare you. Who's this guy?
Well, if anything, it's more divisive.
If you listen to the left, they're having premenstrual dysphoric syndrome every single day about something. We just make fun of people, and then we tell you what's happening in the news, and then we get on with our lives, right? That's kind of what we do. We don't engage in all that stuff they engage in. I mean, they're the left, when you listen to them, they are mad. They're yelling at you every single day. Oh, my gosh. I don't know, like, how many calories that burns to be that angry all day long and screaming like that all day long. But, I mean, we don't really do that here. Every now and then we'll get, you know, justifiably perturbed. But it's not like the left. I mean, the left is basically, you know, telling you that, you know, Donald Trump eats babies and probably hates kittens, too. I mean, all that's the kind of stuff that they say. Or it's all mega. Blah, blah. And we're just sitting here doing our thing. They're the ones who are obsessed. Who is this guy that they bring on? Like, this, nobody has ever heard of this dude. I never even seen this guy. I was talking to another friend of mine in broadcasting. They're like, I don't even know who that cat is. Like, if we don't even know who you are, who is you? Who are you doing? What are you doing on CBS? Come on. And who is the guy who is interviewing? That dude. He looks like a gym teacher. Is this like his side job? I'm going to do, let me pitch a segment on talk radio. These segments are a dime a dozen. I'm so tired of it. So they're just gearing up to try to disqualify another means of getting something alternative to Pravda. That's all it is.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Nearly 13,500,000 jobs just since you got me sworn in January 2020.
What year does this dude think it is? How many jobs did he say? 10,000, 11
billion.
11 trillion, 10,020 per trillion jobs that I've created. I love Democrat math. They're like, okay, we're going to shut down the government and make it to where nobody can go to work. And then when everyone goes back to work, we're going to say we created all these jobs. This is crazy. Look at all the job creation. It's wild. That's not really accurate, but they're still running with, I don't think anybody believes it. But, yeah, I'm trying to, what is his, does he know for real? Does he know what year it is?
I'm doubtful.
Because he's like, we've created this since I was sworn in January. Is he saying that in a few years they've created these jobs? Or is he saying since January, and he thinks apparently it's 2020?
It's a lie either way.
Well, yeah, obviously. But I'm curious as to his thinking on this. Yeah, I don't want to try to understand his thought process, because when I do, I feel like the room spins and it gets blurry. And it's like a mental roofie in a way to try to, you know, understand that. I don't know. All right. So coming up in our second hour, give you the lay of the land. We have Congress getting ready to battle over the budget. Also, immigration. New York City has spent $35 million for two hotels in which illegal entrants are staying. And this is the problem that I have with the stupid media language. Like, I saw this headline It said, staggering figures reveal 1.2 million U.S. They said U.S.-born workers lost their jobs last month, replaced by 688,000 foreign-born staff as migrants flood across the border. That's why status, whether you come across legally or illegally, is important, because are replacement workers here legally or are they here illegally? But the headline, and actually they don't even get into it until like three quarters of the way into the story. This is the problem with this stupid language. Illegal alien is a legal term, and other countries use that exact equivalent of that term. I mean, I've looked. Everybody from UK to Ireland to Dominican Republic, like every Mexico, they all use that equivalent of that term. But only in the United States is it considered, no, you can't use it. So we're just going to use this bland term migrant to actually make it vague as to whether or not someone's here legally or not. So we're also going to get into international. We got Dr. Robert Malone with the Rona, all kinds of stuff. Don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Second hour, just minutes away. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time. And the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations. And this 12 gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12 gauge pump action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells and with dual tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KelTecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Are you homeless? Is that what you're telling us?
No, I'm not homeless. I just have one home. I have a beautiful home. I'm down here for the day because I can't go home.
What do you want to achieve?
So what a weird soundbite. That's Biden in Delaware. He's saying that Secret Service tore up his house, so he has to go to what? The beach house? That's the only place that he can go when he's in Delaware? Mm-hmm. And
it's not vacation, though.
Yeah, but it's not vacation, which is... You know, like how I said on Twitter over the weekend, you know, just like how when I would tell the kids that I'm just resting my eyes for a few minutes, that it's not a nap. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this second hour. Later on, are we going to see more lockdowns? We're going to talk to Dr. Robert Malone about a lot of this stuff. But Biden, he, you know, jetted down to Florida to deliver a lecture on climate change. Hasn't been to East Palestine. He's been to Delaware tons. He's been on vacation for a year. And he says, but he's not on vacation. He's not on vacation. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, King, but the beach house in Delaware, they don't do visitor logs and all that stuff, correct?
Yeah, no, they don't.
Okay, so how are you working? How's he working there when you don't?
I'd like to see an account of the people that are visiting and the people that are working, if that's the case.
Yeah, as would I. I mean, I would like to see who's going there, you have to keep these logs, these visitor logs everywhere else. He's not working. We know he's not. I don't know exactly what he's doing. Yeah, you know what makes it hard too for him, I think, and I was thinking about this over the weekend. I do believe that he is compromised health-wise, and I don't think that that's an unreasonable observation. But the other thing that he does that I think not just him, but Democrats as a whole do, is what is the point of having all of these surrogates and all of these other people in government if you're not going to use them? You know what I mean? So think about it. If Biden is too weak to travel to everywhere he needs to travel, if he's too weak to go to East Palestine, or if he thinks that it would look bad for him somehow to go to a Republican area and maybe give a little attention to the problems with that they're still dealing with there, then why doesn't he send, you know, the vice president or somebody other than that incompetent little twerp, Poot Booty Juice? Why doesn't he send someone else there to continue to remind, you know, Americans that this, they're still dealing with these issues. They're still dealing with, you know, this toxic waste there and health issues, et cetera. And, I you know, you think that, I mean, it seems like that would be a smart move to make. All of the problems that this administration is dealing with are created by this administration. I mean, they create so many problems for themselves, and it's like they fight against themselves. I have no idea why. But he's not even taking advantage of all of the people that he could be sending there in his place if he doesn't want to go. Just like if he didn't want to go to the border. You can't send Kamala Harris to the one place by the southern border that has the wall, has the force multiplier there. It doesn't really work that well. But I think his, especially his quick trip to Florida, just for the express purpose of lecturing everybody about climate change, I don't think that went very well. Audio Sunday 13, Kevin McCarthy, as Congress comes back into session, as the House comes back, he responded to a reporter asking him about this. This is Audio Cut 13. Listen.
Well, hurricanes have hit California before. Hurricanes have hit Florida before. Floods have hit Vermont. The hurricane actually didn't hit Hawaii. The high winds did. The one thing that you can look at, even if the temperature has changed before on this earth and gone down and gone up, the mitigation. The fuel, the grass. Why did some buildings survive and others not?
Mm. Now, as the House returns from their summer recess, so does the fight over the narrative with the budget. So this is just some of the opening shots from this morning. So you have the Washington Post that ran this editorial demanding that the quote-unquote whatever MAGA Republicans or MAGA House or whatever stop opposing these monetary demands from Democrats that are in the NDAA. And that includes, you know, the abortion on demand as birth control for service members. And it includes taxpayer funded medically unnecessary surgeries on the genitals of individuals who claim that they're of a different sex. And you have people like Tommy Tuberville who don't believe that that's something that taxpayers, particularly in a time of recession, should be on the hook for. And Democrats are livid because they're claiming that. And if they wanted all of these military appointments, if they wanted all of this stuff done, they wouldn't have poisoned the well by adding these medically unnecessary, complete identity politic things onto it. They would not have, they wouldn't have made it more difficult so that now they can say, oh, look, Republicans are opposing, you know, these promotions, etc. It's just, it's incredibly disingenuous. But this is one of the things that they're using in their budget battle. They also want to tie aid to Maui to more money for Ukraine. That's a real thing. Over at Red State, they have a write-up of one of the proposals. They said that Senator Duckworth tells reporters she's going to object to Senator Rick Scott's plans to pass disaster aid on its own without the rest of the Biden administration's supplemental request, meaning that other parts of that supplemental request are all that other stuff I was talking about, including Ukrainian funding. In fact, Duckworth was on the record saying, quote, it's important to include Ukrainian funding. He wants to replenish... and I'm not a major fan of Rick Scott, but, you know, he wants to replenish the federal disaster relief fund. OK, but he wants it to be a straight no chaser thing, whereas Democrats are demanding that all of this other stuff be tacked onto it, including Ukrainian more billions for Ukraine. I mean, that's goofy. Why would you have why in the hell would you have aid for a foreign country tied into a bill for disaster funding for American citizens who are suffering due to natural disasters here in the United States? That's these two things are entirely unrelated to the other. And Democrats want this as a talking point. They want to use disaster funding for Maui as if they haven't already hurt Maui enough. I'll remind you, it was Democrat policies that governed water equity that made 9 hours pass before people could put out their burning children and burning homes. It was those policies that prevented the sirens from sounding to notify people that a wildfire, which was spreading so fast, was coming. They needed to evacuate. They needed to get to a safer area. It was those exact policies, the exact policies of refusing to engage in proper forestry management, to reduce the amount of dead brush, etc., that created a kindling for these wildfires. It was these policies that contributed to the electric company refusing to shut off power to lines in these areas that had not been managed well due to existing Democrat policies, as I just mentioned. I mean, I don't know how much one party can hurt an affected area and continue to hurt an affected area, but tying disaster relief funding from a disaster that was brought on in part by their policies, tying that to funding for a foreign country is one of the most asinine, tone-deaf, callous things I can think of. I mean, it should not be a fight to vote on disaster relief for areas affected by natural disasters. The Democrat Party ought to pay for it out of their own damn coffers, honestly. Now, Tim Scott had responded saying that it's crazy that anybody in Washington would try to delay the delivery of disaster aid to American families, people trying to get back on their feet, he said. And he says it's not about really, he says it's about Americans, and Americans should always come first. That's true. Why is that controversial to say? How can you look at what's happening in Maui and say, oh no, unless Ukraine gets their funding, Maui residents can't get theirs? What in the world? But that's what they're doing. And they're trying to build this narrative on it. Here's the Politico piece. Getting into this even more. Democrats are bracing for a MAGA shutdown. And oh, they use Duckworth again as their big image. She's going to be one of their lead in the Senate on this. And everyone's looking at the House as they all come back for recess. Nobody wants a continuing resolution. Democrats want to avoid a shutdown. They don't really want to avoid a shutdown. I really don't think that they care. I think that they just want to use whatever leverage they can in order to get the excessive spending that they want. They said that they're really targeting McCarthy on this. And going after the quote-unquote hard right freedom caucus. You guys remember the hard right freedom caucus? That's the Tea Party caucus that was started by people like Ron DeSantis when he was in the House and other grassroots limited government constitutionalists. They're saying, listen to how Politico describes this. Members of the hard right freedom caucus are escalating their threats. They use phrases like hostage, GOP hostage taking. They're not actually mentioning in this piece, I've noted, what Democrats have added to their demands for spending. Like, they're not getting into, for instance, how much money Democrats want to send to Ukraine. They're not getting into a number of these. It feels like that's kind of important. They're going after Tommy Tuberville, his blockade of military nominations. I think the military nominations thing, they're saying, oh, we have all, you know, these heads of these different branches that are, completely unfulfilled. Well, Democrats, you created a problem because never before has that been tacked on to this defense authorization. Never before. No one has, they have never, ever, it has never been an issue in voting for this before. It only became an issue when Democrats demanded taxpayer dollars to fund medically unnecessary surgeries to switch around the genitals of soldiers who want to identify as a different sex. That has never been an issue until Democrats demanded that that be part of it. So this isn't Tuberville's problem. I hope he sticks to his guns on this. I hope the damn government shuts down. And all the media going, well, that's how, you know, Republicans, it'll hurt Republicans in an election year. You know what? They said that. Let me tell you something. They said that back in 2018 and it didn't. They said it back in when? 14. and it didn't. They set it back in 10, and they didn't. In fact, it's benefited Republicans every single time. Really benefited back during the 2010 shellacking.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently, Burning Man attendees, they got, well, they had a lot of rain. They got stuck. They were unable to exit festival grounds. Their food ran low. Their water ran low. They were rationing their supplies. People like Chris Rock had to like get out and walk out of all of the mud and hitchhike and actually get a ride out. I mean, it's crazy. They declared it a national like a disaster area, and finally they allowed everyone yesterday to very slowly at 10 miles per hour start driving out. And it's just crazy. And then people were getting sick, and oh my gosh, just an absolute nightmare. Yeah, let's see. This is why it's glorified camping. We're not doing it. Let's see. The states with the relaxed pot laws apparently have more impaired drivers. This is just some, it's from Just the News. They said that states that ease their laws on marijuana saw more impaired driving, but they also said that the potency of marijuana has skyrocketed in the recent decade, and that's contributed to that. Also, this, oh, I don't want to really gonna, there's super gonorrhea now. Why is this a thing? Why is this a thing? They're saying that yes, this STDs, some are apparently getting more powerful, including the super gonorrhea, a priority microorganism. And they said it's shown microbial resistance. So keep your knees kissing, everybody. Just, you know, follow my grandma's advice. Engineered red wolves need space, but apparently engineered red wolves and human. I don't really trust, honestly, the government to deal with any kind of animal issue at this point anymore, especially after they got, they had those two wildcats that they got that starved to death in the desert after they released them. The government messes everything up. A Phoenix man let his 10-year-old son drive his pickup truck on the freeway, according to police who stopped the vehicle. Arizona DPS said the boy led troopers on a brief pursuit Saturday afternoon, speeding, weaving in and out. The 49-year-old father was in the passenger seat. He was booked into Maricopa County Sheriff's Office on suspicion of endangerment. And apparently he also had a container of open alcohol in the vehicle. Why? Coming up next, Dr. Robert Malone. So are they going to lock us down again? Like, how dangerous is this new strain? I mean, do you care about the new strain? We'll talk with him about all of that. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
It's representing an evolutionary leap, unlike anything we've seen before. The most similar evolutionary leap we've seen with this virus was from Delta to Omicron, and you and I both know how that turned out. So what we're trying to understand actively, our scientists around the world are working on whether the current vaccine will provide kind of neutralization antibodies, meaning will it be effective against this kind of more threatening variant?
This is all we are hearing about is the new variant. Everyone needs to be worried about the new variant. The first lady now, despite being multi-vaxxed and boosted and all of these other things that we were told that we needed to prevent transmission, which, you know, clearly now we know the truth on, she has it yet again. And MSNBC has really been pushing this. I have another soundbite for you. First off, welcome back to the program. You can listen to the radio show across the country. We got millions of listeners every day. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio program, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. One other quick cut. This is MSNBC, Dr. Gupta, saying that everyone older than 6 months, he's saying now, needs a booster shot. Listen to this. We got audio soundbite 20. That is not 20.
All real right, quick, if you will, who needs to get a booster and when?
So all of us need boosters. So 6 months of age and up, we're going to have boosters by the end of this month, hopefully.
They're really drumming up the hysteria very conveniently during an election year. So we thought, you know, because of all of this, we should probably bring on an actual expert who can break all this down. A very good friend of ours who's been who's joined us on the program before, Dr. Robert Malone. You all know him. He's the original inventor, by the way, of the mRNA platform that was used in the Pfizer and Moderna therapeutics, I should say. And he joins me now. He also has his book, Lies My Government Told Me and the Better Future Coming. Dr. Malone, so good to see you again. Thank you for joining us. I just want to get your reaction to some of this initial hysteria over this new variant. And now everyone's talking about masking and they're wondering if everything is going to shut down again very conveniently during an election year. I've got a lot of, you know, other questions, but I just wanted to get your initial reaction.
So briefly, because we're short on time in the segment, I just put out a Substack about Eris, which is one of the two variants, the other one being Parola. This is absolute fear porn, initially kicked off 2 weeks ago by Scott Gottlieb, who, acting on behalf of Pfizer in what was essentially an extended commercial on Face the Nation. What we clearly have here, and I've documented in that Substack essay just today from the CDC, that phylogeny relationship of this Eris variant to Omicron and to the variant that they have built the booster vaccine, quote unquote, products for this fall. And by the way, the statement that was made in the first clip about neutralizing antibodies, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say. That's BS. Neutralizing antibodies are not a correlate of protection. That's the same lie that they told us at the beginning, and they're telling us again now. Okay, those are absolutely not validated correlates of protection, and yet they're trotting it out again. The whole messaging coming from the CDC that everyone 6 months and older have to get boosted, there is no evidence of major morbidity or mortality in healthy children, full stop. There is clear, unequivocal evidence of damage to the immune system of children in a broad-based fashion. That is just a paper published from Australia about 2 weeks ago, as well as damage, for instance, myocardially in children after receiving these products. So you have no reason for benefit. There's no clinical benefit provided here. Children are already protected by their own immune system. Don't do it.
Hmm. You mentioned talking with Dr. Robert Malone, Pirula, the two variants, which I do think in Iris, and by the way, you can find him R.W. Malone, M.D. at Substack. To me, it seems like it would be very mild. I mean, we're going into flu season, for crying out loud. But also what I found questionable, Doctor, is how was there a vaccine so quickly developed and released? I mean,
It wasn't, okay? So this is another lie that's being told right now. Back last summer, early in the summer, actually in springtime, there was a meeting of the VRBPAC at the FDA in which they decided that they needed to build booster vaccines for fall to Kraken. Remember Kraken? Ooh, very spooky name. It's all going to eat us up. Kraken turned out to be a big nothing burger. And what's happened is that Eris is out competing Kraken very easily now. And Eris is rising. And oh, by the way, this huge surge, 100% surge in infections in the United States. Well, that's actually 7,000 to 14,000 off of a, you know, it's a very, very low baseline. It's a fraction, you know, we're having 40 deaths a day attributed to being with COVID, not necessarily from COVID. Okay, there is no surge here. This is all fear porn. This is all fear porn to market the booster vaccines that the government has already bought for a variant that's already going extinct based on predictions, all wrong predictions that were made by the FDA's vaccine-related and biologics advisory committee, the VRBPAC, last spring. So they blew it. And this hope that the Kraken-derived booster vaccines will protect against Eris, which is increasingly the dominant strain. It's about 30% of virus in the United States right now, is purely hope. There is no data to support it. This is, again, substitution of hope for data, like we've seen all the way through. This is just another case of fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I'm sorry, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. They're trying to fool us again. Mm. And, of course, as you note, we have Tony Fauci being trotted out and so many other of the advocates, and notably Gottlieb, who is really a spokesperson for Pfizer. He sits on the board, and his claim to fame, let's just recalibrate. Dr. Gottlieb's claim to fame is that he was a senior bureaucrat in an agency that's now been shown to be captured and corrupt. That's his total contribution to humanity before he joined Pfizer. And oh, by the way, he also happens to be an advisor to the CIA. Okay, that's what
just
Scott,
convenient. Just referenced. Yeah, just I'm sure, just you know, just total convenience. Yeah. That's, we're talking with Dr. Robert Malone about the newest, I like the way he puts it, the fear porn surrounding the latest coronavirus hysteria. I mean, honestly, you know, I was reading what you were writing about Aris. It doesn't, I mean, if I'm being frank, it doesn't seem that serious.
It's not. Clinically, there's no signs. Now, what is popping up that's of concern is a cutaneous autoimmune rash, and that's happening in the highly inoculated, okay? That is happening in these recipients of these products, and it's yet another adverse event that's popping up on top of this huge litany of other ones. But in terms of Aris or Parola, these are, you know, Aris is more infectious. It's competing with the other Omicron variants because this is just another variant of Omicron. It's a branch off a branch off a branch from Omicron parent strain, okay? And it is a separate, it's on a separate phylogenetic lineage from Kraken. And so they're really reaching to say that A is gonna protect against B. And there is no evidence of serious clinical consequences associated with this more highly infectious variant in the sense of hospitalization or death. As I mentioned, mortality currently by Worldometer data in the United States is 40 per day in the United States that are COVID associated. That's not COVID caused. Those can be people that got a car accident or a shot in the head or cancer or whatever, and they happen to stick a swab up their nose and got a signal on the test.
Yeah.
And then they pick their extra $50,000, right? Just to be clear on that.
Talking with Dr. Robert Malone, the original inventor of the mRNA platform. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but doctor, I got to be honest with you. Some of the things I've seen in the last 4 years have really made me question my position as not being a conspiracy theorist, if I'm being frank about it, because I just, I find this interesting. I mean, the fact that now all of a sudden this is a big thing again, it just happens to be another election year. I mean, I didn't know that this was an election year thing, that it's, you know, it's seasonal, only in a general election year, though, doctor.
Yeah. So some people are joking. One of the memes that are popping up is the name for the next variant is going to be BS.24.7.
Yeah. I think I could go with that. I could go with that. I mean, it does seem to be very coincidental, the timing of this. And I don't know what to make of it because I speak to this.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in my lead line in that essay, that just so that this conveniently aligns with the upcoming election season and the need to have yet another crisis to justify crisis-based election manipulation. At some point, we just have to laugh at this or we're going to cry or shoot ourselves. It has become so insane. But I read a great essay just a little while ago from another Substack author that was Sasha Stone in particular, to just call out a colleague who's doing a good job, who makes the point that the cultural counter-revolution is already in motion.
Mm-hmm.
The absurdity of you, I mean, you are a member of that, Dana, and you're pointing out the problems with wokeism and the left. It's becoming so abundantly clear that they're out of touch and they have become grossly authoritarian and they're no longer fact-based. They're no longer grounded in reality. They create their own reality around themselves, and that will eventually collapse. And what's happening is that folks like you, Sasha, and so many others are really forming, and the guy from local guy here with the red beard that did the Richmond north of Richmond,
Oliver
that
Anthony.
Going viral like that all demonstrates that change is in the wind.
I don't think we'll have another lockdown. Do you? I think too many people would resist it, doctor.
So I think that is going to be a state by state thing. California is all in under Gavin Newsom. I mean, they'll do anything and they'll salute any flag, no matter how many colors it has on it. So is it going to happen in Texas and Florida? I doubt it very much. And Virginia, it was kind of like, okay. And they just went around their business in the prior lockdowns. Okay. We had about a week where people were worried. And then after that, they just blew it off, except in places like Charlottesville. So I think it's too soon to celebrate. I wouldn't put anything past our opponents as we come into next fall. They will do anything. Facts are irrelevant. Ethics are irrelevant. And it's all about winning. And it's all about utilitarianism, and the ends justify the means. I mean, the new thing now that they're floating, as you probably know, and they're pushing Elon on in terms of the Anti-Defamation League, et cetera, is trying to link conservatives to anti-Semitism. Mm. And they're trying really hard, just like there was an effort to link anti-Semitism to anti-vaxxer. Peter Hotez was out on front on that one, and he got shut down pretty good after that whole Rogan scuffle.
Yeah.
These people that are our opponents, our ideologic opponents, will do and say anything. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong or data-based or anything else. They will do it if it helps them to win. And we got to be smart about that.
How sad that they've been able to bastardize science in the way that they have. But thankfully, we have people like you that stand strong against that and keep the questioning in science. That's how you should be able to question everything. Dr. Robert Malone, we really appreciate your time. We really appreciate, too, your expertise on this and your ability to speak on this so well. Thank you so much. I have a feeling we'll be talking with you again soon as things progress. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Dana. Thanks. Bye-bye.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Gosh, this has got to be the dumbest, like, criminal ever. A Florida man was arrested. Okay, so he stole a Mercedes, right? He steals this Mercedes, and then he decides to flaunt it. His stolen Mercedes online. Guess who sees it? The police. They see it. Volusia County Sheriff's Office, 23-year-old Nicholas Coffey was arrested yesterday morning. He was identified as one of two suspects involved in multiple car break-ins over the Deltona area over the weekend. The sheriff's office said that, I mean, he literally was like bragging about having the car on social media. He posted about having a new Mercedes-Benz, all kinds of stuff, and he kept the stolen plate on it and everything. Like that. And of course, he gets caught. I feel like he's got more room on his face for tattoos. He was booked into jail on 11 counts of conspiracy to commit burglary, a bunch of stuff, fraudulent credit card usage. He also is a convicted felon. He's a repeat offender. So he got busted for being in illegal possession of a firearm. And he was using his firearm in commission of felonious activity. So all kinds of charges on this guy. Like, what a dummy, though, right? I mean, they're not the brightest. They're not the brightest. They really aren't. Also, jeez. An irate Florida customer was arrested because he threw a lollipop at a Family Dollar manager. Really? What kind? Dalton Reed, 24, was arrested and charged with simple battery. He was in line to be checked out at the store, and he got into a verbal argument with the manager, and then he threw a lollipop at him. The piece of candy hit the manager. Oh, come on. Really? The piece of candy hit the manager in the chest. They caught it on camera, and it was witnessed by an employee. Oh, my gosh. You got hit with a lollipop. I mean, just to make the guy leave your store. You don't have to call the police on him. You know, I mean, I don't know. Am I being too lenient?
No.
But I will say, I feel like that gets you a free punch.
Yes.
If somebody throws a lollipop at you, I feel like, okay, I'm not going to call the police on you, but you're going to get a free punch. and you can't call the police on me. That's how this works, right? You know, playground justice, but like for grown folks, yeah. You know? We have a whole other hour on the way. You don't want to miss. Stick with us. More of The Dana Show back after this.
The most rigorous and comprehensive analysis of scientific studies conducted on the efficacy of masks for reducing the spread of respiratory illness, including COVID-19, was published last month. Its conclusions, said Tom Jefferson, the Oxford epidemiologist who is the lead author, were unambiguous. There is just no evidence that they, masks, make any difference, he told the journalist Mayan Damacy, full stop. But wait, hold on. What about the N95 masks as opposed to the lower quality surgical or cloth masks? Makes no difference. None of it, he said. Well, what about the studies that initially persuaded policymakers to impose mask mandates? They were convinced by non-randomized studies, flawed observational studies. How do we get beyond that finding of that particular review?
Yeah, but there are other studies, Michael, that show at an individual level for individual. When you're talking about the effect on the epidemic or the pandemic as a whole, the data are less strong. But when you talk about as an individual basis of someone protecting themselves or protecting themselves from spreading it to others, there's no doubt that there are many studies that show that there is an advantage. When you took at the broad population level, like the Cochrane study, the data are less firm with regard to the effect on the overall pandemic. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about an individual's effect on their own safety. That's a bit different than
the
broad population.
I mean, the data is less firm. Have you checked the firmness of the data, Kane? Have you squeezed the data's firmness in your hand? Just wondering. Welcome back to the show, top of the third hour. Every time I hear him talk, I go into a Friday mood. I just don't care about being serious anymore because it's just such a scam, man. He's such a shyster. Welcome back. And good to be with you as always. Top of this third hour. And, oh boy. Yeah, I don't think people are going to go softly into that good night on this again. I really don't. Fauci was asked about why all of these, you know, all the evidence shows that these masks don't work. Okay, don't forget, he said before that they don't work. Kane, will you go ahead and play us the hits? Play us the hits.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
Remember this flashback?
When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
A droplet. Might block a droplet. Hashtag block a drop. Just saying. Yeah. Nobody takes this guy seriously. Nobody. No, I can't even stand talking about it in a serious fashion because I'm just full of rage about how it was handled the first time. And to see this creeping up again, the election year variant, every 4 years we're going to have this, right? I honestly wish that people wouldn't have gone on with it the first time, especially all of the changes to voting. Imagine that. All right, some of the other stuff we're going to hit. Can we talk about the primary real quick? Some of the primary stuff. It's very annoying. I had to roll my eyes so hardcore over the weekend, and it wasn't a big thing. I saw a couple people talking about it, and I don't even know how serious. Let me pull this up. It's a Politico piece. Just so you know, Politico is where operatives go to dump stories that other outlets won't take. I don't know if you know this. So they said that a DeSantis super PAC head honcho admits he's spreading dirt on Vivek Ramaswamy. And I was looking at this. Now, you guys know where I stand because I'm paid to have opinions, okay? I cannot, here's sidebar, before I dive into the story. One of the things I cannot deal with and I get really saucy about, when I see people that I know and I genuinely like and I know what they think, but they pretend not to have an opinion on something so that you, because they're trying to find favor with an audience. So they pretend not to have an opinion. They're terrified of that people are going to turn on them if they don't have the right opinion. When it's really not that. Audiences get mad at you if you are disingenuous and if they feel like you're lying to them about something. That's why I'm just like, why lie? Just like you have opinions. If you're going into commentary, you're paid. People know that you're going to have an opinion. Be honest about it. Every single person has had one, right? Now, I've told y'all before, you know, I voted. I've, I have, I vote for the most conservative candidate who can win. And that typically is the party nominee every general election. Yes, in 2012, it was very begrudging. Yes, I got into a fight with pretty much the entirety of the Republican Party. And I had a lot of Republicans livid at me. They were trying to get me fired from CNN. It was a big thing. I was called a Democrat, everything, because of the whole Romney situation. Now, in 2016, obviously, I voted for Trump in 2016, 2020. And I even went to a fundraiser. I've known him forever. I don't like, even though I know people, I don't like to be seen as, I don't want to be in anybody's clique, if that makes sense. And believe me, the opportunities, especially previously, and especially with the last administration, we talked about this, have always been there. But it's just not what I do. Now, other people don't feel that way. They will totally be a part of a clique and just not divulge it to you. But you can tell because they're, you know, they fall all over themselves, all over social media. I like who I like and I like who I don't. And you've seen, and I think I've been pretty open, because everything I do is online, about the genesis of my distrust for Vivek Ramaswamy. Because he was on the show and I was like, you got a lot of energy, let's talk. Nobody knew anything about the guy, came out of nowhere. And I will say, like, in our first conversation, it was a little weird because he came on my program, and then I guess for his podcast that never aired, I did an interview with him, but he didn't know how to drive an interview. He didn't know how to host something. So I basically interviewed him again for his podcast. It was very weird. Kane, you were here. Remember that? It was odd. And that's when he told me he never owned a gun, which I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, I don't have to, you know, own a gun to be a big Second Amendment, you know, proponent. I'm like, okay. And just, you know, always stuck with me. But that was the first thing where I thought, all right, how much do you know about them though? Because some of the technological aspects of the knowledge plays into law. So I was a little curious about that. Now, fast forward to now, and I feel like the guy's been pretty disingenuous. And I've been very, you guys have seen sort of the manifestation and how that's come to be as more stuff comes up. So this is why I was rolling my eyes at this Politico piece, because this is what the media thinks of people. Let me be really frank about something. I think it was Jordan Satchel who's done a lot of digging into the database aspect of Vivek Ramaswamy and some of his CCP aligned businesses, which he does. He has business interests in CCP aligned businesses. This stuff is public information. I don't know why Politico presents this. And Jeff Rowe is the guy that they were quoting. It was at some never back down PAC thing. And I guess Jeff Rowe, the last time I ever talked to Jeff Rowe was a couple of, actually 5 years ago he was eating some lamb fries at the festival in North Arena in Vegas, or North Arena, sorry, in Nevada. And that was the last time I actually literally ever was around him or talked to him. So he's telling people, yeah, I don't know. I'm assuming that this is what's happening. I mean, it's Politico, so take it for what it's worth. He was saying, he was quoted as saying, yeah, you know, the stuff about Vivek Ramaswamy came from us. I can't imagine that he would say something like that, because B, that's so, it's dumb. It's all public information. Do you realize that it took me literally 0.2 seconds to find out his entire donor history? I went on Google, I looked it up, and I took screenshots for you and put it on my Substack. You don't have to get Oppo from, do people not know what Oppo is? I mean, this stuff is public information. It's out there. All of the business stuff that, I mean, anything that you have to file, it's all, I mean, everything from his public donations to his business relationships to his previous statements. Like, he wrote a book bashing Trump over J6. That's not Oppo. The dude wrote a book where he bashed Trump about J6. So that's not hidden information, right? I found that so dumb. And I kind of wonder if the Ramaswamy camp didn't plant that at Politico, because it's dumb. Anyway, So he comes out there. Vivek Ramaswamy went out there over the weekend and was like, yeah, see all these people that are attacking me, et cetera, et cetera. First off, I cannot stand when people use attack as a substitute for criticism. Yes, if you're doing business with communist China, you deserve criticism. That's not an attack. You're being criticized. And if you think that any challenge to your dogma is a quote unquote attack, you're woke. Because only woke scolds use that kind of language to paint themselves as victims for simply being disagreed with. Okay. So that's number one. Number two with this. So he's got this. So he came out and was saying that, you know, people were attacking him, etc., and that they were apparently being told to do so. And one of his operatives was asking me, so, you know, who told you to do, you know, do X, Y, Z? Really? Kane, how long you know me?
Oh, gosh. Long time.
When's the last time a politician ever told me to do something?
I've actually, seen here's Romney, the better question. Romney camp, I remember
when
that.
Is the last time that I've told a politician to go do something unflattering to themselves because they've made a request?
Yes.
That's probably...
Every time they've made a request.
Yes.
Yes.
As Kane can attest. I don't care about niceties. And... And it aggravates Kane to no end because he's like, you know what? It'd be great to be able to get some of these people as guests, but I can't if, you know, they're asking you to do something and you're telling them to go blank off. Like, yeah, well, that's, you know, I'm not here to make friends. That's the short of it. I can't stand that kind of stuff. The dude's getting criticized. And as I've said before, because he started going after people, he was getting, you know, some notoriety in the press. And then he was using that notoriety, that magnified platform as a way to accuse everyone else of being corrupt and being rhinos. I didn't realize that you're a rhino if you don't support a 59% death tax. I didn't realize that you are that you're a rhino if you don't believe in doing business with the CCP. I didn't think that, you know, you were a rhino if you opposed a government operated database that tracked all the coronavirus, you know, shots and positive tests and everything else that everybody took. I didn't realize that opposing that made one a rhino, but going by his logic, that's exactly what it means. So he got criticized because he started doing dumb stuff like that. That's why he started getting criticized, not attacked. If you want to talk about an attack, I will divert your attention to a giant auditorium in which I had people scream, quote, burn her, and rush the stage to punch me in the face. And I had to have a security detail literally forcibly sweep me off stage. If you want to talk about, quote unquote, attack, not simply disagree with. There's a way big difference here. If you want to talk about attack, let's look at what our Marines had to deal with at Abbey Gate in Afghanistan. Not someone disagreed with me. I was attacked. I just feel like people who use the word attack as that substitute for criticize or disagree with are weak and woke and unfit for public office. Now, to my final point with this, I feel he is his own worst enemy, Ramaswamy. He is his own worst enemy. And I don't think that his campaign's going to go anywhere. I think he's making, you know, a splash now. And I think it's all just advantageous to get himself some press, to leverage that as a way to make more money. And I do think that he's a stalking horse candidate, whether it's for Trump or Big Pharma. I'm more inclined to believe the latter. But, you know, that's kind of the way it is. And one last point. One of his stands made the comment to me. Yeah. Are you surprised that he's doing business with China? I mean, he is a business person. Okay, well, be a business person and do business with communist China then. But don't be the president of the United States, a la Joe Biden, and think that you can do the same.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So over 245,000 pounds of banquet chicken strips, frozen ones, have been recalled over plastic concerns. Sidebar, when is a chicken strip a tendy? Conagra Brands is recalling all of these banquet brand frozen chicken strips. Actually, really hard to say fast because the chicken could contain plastic. So they have best if used by dates of going up to December 11th of 2024 and January 1st, 25. Just go to USDA, look at their stuff. They announced it Saturday, but they said you should throw them away or return them to place of purchase or just not buy frozen tendies, you know. Just like, you know, get you some fresh tendies. Make you some fresh tendies. They delicious. Let's see. Ew, plastic in it. An An antelope that was killed by a hippo at a Michigan zoo was trapped in a tunnel, according to a report. This sounds horrendous. Grand Rapids, it was a fatal incident at the John Ball Zoo. It was earlier this year. They were investigating it, and they now finally figured out apparently what was going on. It sounded like some shenanigans. Non-compliant handling of animals. Critical non-compliant, they said. Chomper, the swamp-dwelling antelope, was attacked and killed by Jahari, a pygmy hippo. And it was their first barrier-free introduction to each other. So in case you wondered what would happen if we introduced an antelope to a hippo, that's what happens. I mean, they found that out real quick. That's grief. Hagar the horrible hot air balloon made a hard landing in Anderson and injured one person. Hot air balloons are interesting. I don't know. You know, everybody's having their like hot air balloon little festival thing. They have them in our hometown of St. Louis and all of that. I'm just saying. And we got a whole bunch of stuff. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
You have the power and the ability to make real change like we did here in New York in the aftermath of the Supreme Court of the United States striking down the concealed carry law that was protecting New Yorkers for over 100 years. We had a spring in action. I called back our legislature for what is known as an extraordinary session to put in place laws to say, we don't think that people should have guns hidden on them, walking through the subways of New York, through Times Square, in schools, because that's the interpretation.
Well, they can't be in schools.
That this Supreme Court, put in place by Donald Trump, left us. I'm the governor
of New York. Is she ignorant?
My number one priority is protecting the citizens of this state.
I can't anymore. I really was trying to make it through this entire soundbite from the New York Governor Kathy Hochul. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. I really tried hard, just so you know. I gave it my best effort. But the moment she starts saying that, well, the Supreme Court doesn't interpret, you know, because she's mad because they got slapped down with Bruin, but the accusation that the Supreme Court interprets concealed carry law to override the existing federal statute that prohibits firearms and has for 30 years on school grounds. I think if you're going to talk about it and you're an elected official at the gubernatorial level, you need to be accurate. And she's either ignorant, meaning she has a deficit of knowledge and intellect to perform her job competently, or she is a malicious liar and she's using tragedy to fearmonger. There's only one of those that are correct. Maybe perhaps both. So she's mad because she says, oh, the MAGA Supreme Court. I hate the word MAGA for everything. Stop it. They're trying to do to that what Reagan did to the word liberal. They struck down our gun safety laws. They didn't strike down your law. You were trying to use two different methods to deny people the ability to carry at all. That's it. And by the way, let's just, if you are curious, what the hell Supreme Court has to do with New York laws specifically, because 80% of the suspects that have been arrested in illegal possession. Now, I'm not going to sit here and get into legal or illegal possession. I understand what some of you mean when you're like, I think all possessions. Like, I'm talking about repeat offenders who are engaged in violent crimes, and they also, while engaging in felonious activity, are in possession of a firearm. And they're repeat offenders who are already barred from possessing a firearm due to their pre-existing violent criminal record. So 80% of those suspects that are rearrested in possession of a gun, actually it's higher than 80%, are released back onto New York streets. That's a fact. Furthermore, they have a new, very unique, lenient law in New York, wherein possession charges, illegal possession in commission of violent crimes, are eligible for bail under that very unique, very lenient New York law. Now, that wasn't the Supreme Court that created that law in New York. That was New York Democrats who created that law in New York. It was New York Democrats who decided to do cashless bail. It was New York Democrats who decided that they were going to reduce penalties for certain crimes under their new restorative justice flag. That wasn't the Supreme Court that did that. That specifically was New York Democrats who did that. For instance, a New York Post has covered some of this. Let me just give you some insight into how crazy this is. You know how they developed in New York this quote-unquote anti-gun unit, correct? You guys remember this? The anti-gun unit that was developed, and this was a year ago. Eric Adams talked a lot about this. They launched it, what, March of last year. They said that we have to stop the flow of guns, et cetera, et cetera. And it was sort of like a version of their plainclothes anti-crime unit. Now, here's the thing. When they were looking at the individuals that they were apprehending, it was something like 70-something percent of them were defendants that had prior arrests. And pretty much all of the people who were busted in possession of a firearm while engaged in crime all had a prior criminal history, right? So this is where it gets even more interesting. Most of them were able to walk free within hours of their arrest because of lax judges with their stupid restorative justice leniency and the bail reform law, right? For instance, New York PD said that their neighborhood safety team made 25 gun arrests in the first 3 weeks that this was all in effect. And guess what? Fewer than 11 of them actually went through the court system. They said everybody else walked. One of them was a violent criminal, 23-year-old, with a long history of violent crime and illegal possession. They had, there's like story after story after story after story. In fact, one such individual, it was actually two people, this was in the Brooklyn DA's office. The prosecutors from the DA's office had actually wanted one of these criminals to be held on like some kind of cash bond, partially secured bond, but the judge declined because it was a violent offender, repeat offender. I mean, there's so many stories of this. They had a Brooklyn judge that sprung a guy, Marcos Malvar, without bail. He was busted, felony firearms, he had drugs, he had a violent record, etc., and criminal obstruction. He had choked his girlfriend. He beat up his girlfriend. By the way, where are all the Democrats who wanted to talk about domestic violence against women? And they were really trying to play upon the tragedy of abused women as a way to disarm law-abiding people. Notice how they never stuck up for this woman who was being beaten and choked by this repeat offender who was allowed to walk by the very Democrats who no sooner did they use a tragedy like hers to score political points during elections, but then they turn around and ignore her suffering. The same people who ignored the suffering of Jacob Blake's victim. Remember the woman who called the cops because there was an outstanding restraining order against him and he showed up with a knife anyway? Kind of gets left out in the press, doesn't it? Yeah, my whole point is that these are violent offenders that are repeatedly allowed to walk. And yet she's upset because the Supreme Court is allowing people to defend themselves against Democrats' refusal to protect the citizenry from violent repeat offenders. And they say that the citizenry doesn't need to carry because they're going to protect them against violent repeat offenders. But guess what? Not only does New York not protect them against violent repeat offenders, but if you try to, heaven forbid, defend yourself against a violent repeat offender, you're sent to Rikers. Just look at the bodega owner who defended himself against a guy who tried to kill him because his girlfriend couldn't steal. Oh, wait, what did Joe Biden call that? A bogota? Yeah. So this is a joke. She's a joke. Democrats pushing this are a joke. But they're trying to revive this whole argument again. They're trying to revive this because they need this desperately as another issue going into the election. They need it as another issue. I mean, it's very difficult to argue that people should be disarmed when you look at the crime rate, right? I mean, it's difficult to tell people, especially when they can see how the state responds to this stuff. I mean, this in New York has been weird. This is, it's been and when it comes to Second Amendment, it's been a kind of a battleground, and they rushed all these new laws through legislature, and they want to turn all the public property into like these sensitive areas and where you cannot lawfully carry and et cetera, et cetera. And the licensing process to even get it's so insane. I mean, it's everything that they do in New York is designed to inhibit a law-abiding person's ability to exercise their constitutional rights. And while at the same time, they're allowing criminals to walk free. But this is our post-Bruin era, and they're Kathy Hochul's upset. So that's it. This is what all this is about. They don't want carry. They don't want any kind of concealed carry at all whatsoever. So I like how she words that. Sneaking around, hiding these guns. So insane. Now, a couple of other things I want to make sure that we hit. By the way, the FAA apparently canceled United Air. They had a ground stop, and then I guess now it's over. They had a computer issue, according to ABC. They said that it was due to equipment failure. They were unable to contact flight dispatchers using normal means. Hope nobody's flying United today who's listening. You might have some problems. But you know what? Don't worry about it. Because Secretary Mayor Newmom, Vice Admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy Tonka, he's on it. Isn't he?
That's so comforting.
Right? He's on it. He's got it. He's there. He's going to take care of it. Don't you worry. Now, in the meantime, a couple of other things to hit while we have finishing out this hour, because there's all this stuff I didn't get into. Oh, my gosh. As you know, apparently Short Stack down in North Korea, Kim Jong-un and Putin are meeting to discuss weapons. North Korea doesn't really have anything to offer in the realm of weapons, unless, you know, they're talking about packs of dogs that they use to eat their enemies. That's a real thing. Didn't he feed his uncle to a pack of wild dogs? Russia wants more weaponry for its war in Ukraine. And the North Korean delegation recently traveled to Russia. They wanted to plan for Kim Jong-un's visit, they said. So he's traveling to Russia, and he's meeting with Putin. They're going to talk about supplying Russia with weaponry. Do they even have the ability to do it? I mean, have you seen this place on a damn map at night at satellite? It's all dark except for Pyongyang. So you're telling me that they don't have the ability to keep the lights on aside from this main city in which Kim Jong-un lives in, but they're able to make weaponry for Vladimir Putin? Would you want weaponry made in North Korea? Where men can only get one of three haircuts? That's not a joke. Google it. I'm being completely serious. So they're supposed to meet. I think that speaks to his desperation. Maybe North Korea sees that as a way to inspire fear, but I just think it's kind of funny. That's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia when they go get bridge denim, where they go and they find these hobos under the bridge and they buy some jeans from them, and then they have to boil them and then they wear them, you know? Frank and Charlie, Danny DeVito's character, and Charlie Day. Yeah. This is like the bridge denim equivalent of weaponry. Right? Does it make sense now?
Yes.
This doesn't spark any kind of concern with me at all. I just think it looks a little desperate. One of the things we're going to look at this week, too, are Chinese nationals that keep trying to enter U.S. bases, sparking some concerns about espionage. Very interesting headline, especially on the heels of what we saw last week with the Wuhan educated individual who was at UNC Chapel Hill. But some are saying that these breaches are really attempts to test security practices at U.S. military installations. They're saying that sometimes, you know, these people that involve Chinese nationals, they pose as tourists. And even at the White House or rocket launch sites, some of the sensitive sites include military bases. The Wall Street Journal has written about this. The FBI and other agencies held a review last year. You mean they paused long enough and turned their attention away from parents speaking at school board meetings to actually, I don't know, look at something that's a little bit more in their purview? Wow, shocking. Much shock. But they're trying to figure out how to limit these incidents. Apparently, according to the journal, there have been like 100 of these incidents so far just in the recent years. There's a concern with the gate crashing here, legitimately so.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
President Biden is the oldest president in U.S. history. Why does White House staff treat him like a baby?
No one treats the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief, like a baby.
So there's this book that says
that's ridiculous.
When staff walked back what sounded like a call for regime change in Russia, the President, quote, rather than owning his failure, he fumed to friends about how he was treated like a toddler. Was John Kennedy ever babied like that?
So look,
That was so clever. I like this. So that was Peter Doocy just moments ago. At the White House press briefing, he was talking to Karine Jean-Pierre, and he starts off with, I mean, why is he being treated like a baby? Like, state the question, state the claim, make her deny it, and then bring up his claim. Like, well, he says he's being treated like a toddler. Right. And then it just makes it, yeah. Yeah. That was very good. That was very good from Peter Doocy. I bet she hates calling on him.
Yes.
I bet she hates it. And just sees him down there and just gets so mad because he makes her job so much harder. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lasher with you. Yeah. It makes her job harder. And I think it's going to get even harder still as the battle over budget gets underway. And everything is going to be used by the left, whether it is for disaster relief funding for Maui or military promotions, anything like that. It doesn't help that we got some Republicans out there. Like, I don't know. I saw this tweet from John Cornyn, and he had tweeted, this is yesterday, the federal government will shut down in less than a month unless the funding bill is passed by September 30th. He says it's only 16 legislative days away under the current schedule. House and Senate are in completely different universes. Okay, yeah, shut it down then, Ann. I don't see the problem, can you?
Not at all.
This is the battle we got coming up. All right, today in stupidity.
Speaking of shutting the government down,
yay!
Karine Jean-Pierre was just talking about this at the podium, and she says, well, this is what at least she claims Congress's job is in this instance. Listen to this.
There is no reason. There is no reason for Congress to shut down the government. Absolutely none. They should keep their word, and they should do their job. Which is keeping the government open.
Wait a minute. That's Congress's job? Keeping the government open?
What if you don't want it to be open, though?
And there are some in Congress that feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it when it's not, because then nothing else happens. They don't get anything else done. Find us, folks, on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Also find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Go and subscribe. Have a great night. I will be back with you tomorrow.